Ephesians chapter 6. As we talk about the next piece of armor, the shield of faith, or I'm titling this message, the shield of confidence. The shield of confidence. And the verse says this: in addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith, which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. The New Living Translation puts it this way: in addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Now, we're looking at this. We've talked about the shoes. We've talked about the breastplate. Excuse us for a second here. We've got a little thing going. And we talked about the belt of truth. These things you put on and they stay on. You take up these other instruments when you're on the move, when you're battling. And one of the things you take up is the shield. Now, this shield, we talked about he's taking the illustration of a Roman soldier and the armor that he would wear, and uses it as an illustration of spiritual truths, because we are in a battle, we are in a war, a spiritual war, as he talks about at the beginning. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. And we wrestle against the enemy, Satan, the devil, who is against us. And we can't see these things. They're not physical, they're spiritual. They're not carnal, they're spiritual. So when we fight this war, we have to fight with spiritual weapons in order to succeed. So he talks here about one of the tactics of the enemy is to hurl flaming arrows. Now, guys, I'm sure you've seen these films with arrows being shot at the hero of the film and his cohorts. And you see these battle scenes all the time where these arrows are just flying, you know, and people are dropping like flies, you know, kind of thing. But what would happen at the beginning of any conflict is that they would take and shoot arrows, and they would take the arrow tip and wrap it with some kind of fabric and put some pitch or something that would be very flammable on it, light it, and then let it go. And it would come down, and as it would hit, it would... The material would kind of explode in flame, and pieces of it would fly. And if you had no shield, of course, it would pierce you and then burn you. And if you had a shield that was just wood, it would catch the shield on fire. So these shields were made of wood, but it was covered on the outside, either with some kind of leather that would be soaked with water, or some kind of metal type of covering on it, so that the arrows couldn't pierce the shield. So when the battle would start, they would start with the arrows coming to try to soften up the line, and you'd see these shields, and these shields were the large ones. They had two different types. They had the one that were round and small, about 2 feet by 2 feet kind of thing. These would be about 2.5 feet wide and about 4 feet high or length. And, you know, in those days, men were shorter, so these were pretty big shields for them in those days. And would cover pretty much the whole person, shield the whole person. So when these arrows come, they would get behind the shields. They would hold their place. And the arrows would either bounce off, or they would hit the, depending on what kind of shield you had, it would hit and pierce, and the water would put out the fire. And as long as they were behind the shields, the arrows couldn't touch them. They were impervious to this attack, as long as they stood behind the shield. Now, these tactics. He's tying them to how we are attacked by the enemy. And he talks about these arrows, these flaming arrows of the evil one. Now this, the evil one, of course, is Satan himself. This is a tactic that he uses to try to confuse you, to try to dismay you, to try to get you to be weakened. Because when these arrows came, they came like a flood. I mean, they just was. You seen those pictures, guys? You ever seen those films? They're just piles of them. And when you're in this spiritual situation where you... Thank you for your positive reaction. When you're in this battle, and Satan is hurling these things at you, they come from everywhere. From all directions. And you're gonna fall if you don't have the shield. You're going to be knocked out of the battle. Now, why is it so important, this shield, to us today? Well, life is uncertain. Amen?
Amen.
And when you face life and it's uncertain, you need the shield. The shield of faith brings certainty to your life. It brings a sense of things are going to be fine, even though everything seems to be going chaos and I don't know where they're going. There's a sense of security and stability because of the shield of faith. When you don't have a job, when you don't know how you're going to pay your bills, when you don't know what your future holds, there's all kinds of uncertainty. When you don't know about the relationships that you're involved in, what the future of them might be, all of these things can bring can be disconcerting and cause you to fear and doubt and be uncertain. That's what the shield of faith is for, is to put that up in those times. When you're feeling fearful, you need it. You need this shield. Abraham in the book of Genesis, turn to that, would you, or write it down. Genesis 15 and verse 1. If you remember this, this story, Abraham had just finished his victory and rescued his nephew, Lot, and routed a whole army. And he was very much a blessed man, prosperous man. And yet, he was bothered. Even after these things happened, he was bothered. What was he bothered by? He had no son. He had no one to pass his name on to, his inheritance on to. And as far as he was concerned, having all these blessings, what was the point if you can't pass them on to your posterity? And he was troubled by that. And he was afraid that he would never have children. His wife, barren. And when that was starting to happen in his life, and he saw his future, and he was fearful, the word of the Lord came to him in verse 1. It says this: After this, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abraham. I am your shield, your very great reward. Now, I will be your shield. I will be your protection. You don't have to fear the future. Your future is secure in me. Now, look at another verse, John 14, 1. The Bible says this: Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. Now this whole word of... let me go back a little bit. When we talk about faith, the faith it's talking about here is confidence and trust in God, in God's promises, in His character, in Him. So Jesus says, Don't let your hearts be troubled. In other words, don't be fearful. Don't be anxious. Don't be worried. Trust in God. Trust also in me. Psalm 56, verse 3 says this, when I am afraid, I will trust in you. Okay, so trust, again, is another way to say the shield of faith. Trusting God's promises, trusting God in the situation, you put up that trust when you are, what? Afraid, when you're filled with fear. You put up that shield of trust and faith when things are uncertain. When you're tempted to disobey God, you need this shield. Now, how does this fit in? In Deuteronomy chapter 9, read you look at that. Deuteronomy chapter 9 and verse 23. And it says this, and when the Lord sent you out from Kadesh Barnea, he said, go up and take possession of the land I have given you. But you rebelled against the command of the Lord your God. Now here's the part you should underline. You did not trust him or obey him. Trust or faith and obedience go together. You won't obey if you don't trust. If you don't have faith. See, every temptation, directly or indirectly, is the temptation to doubt and to distrust God. Every temptation has that as a focus, to get you to distrust God and to doubt God. So to sin is to believe what Satan has to say more than what God has to say. So when he throws those arrows, he'll throw those arrows of, say, doubt, which we're going to talk about a little bit here next. And he'll cause you to see all the problems, all the things that counteract, that you can see that seem to contradict what God says, so that you will distrust what God says, so that you won't be able to put your faith in God, and you will pull back and you'll start to do what he says is the best way to do it. And you'll think it's your own idea. Notice that there's another thing about these arrows. They come from somewhere. They don't necessarily come from you. Satan throws these things and they come into your mind. You know, you ever had a thought came to me? Well, that's what we're talking about. A thought comes to you and doesn't necessarily come from you. And so you start to say, you know, faith in God is misplaced. God doesn't do what he says. You can't trust him. All these ideas and thoughts will come into your mind. And what's the source of these things? It's the enemy. He is attacking you. When you have these doubts, when you have these fears, when you want to disobey, you are under attack. And you need to take out your shield and deflect and neuter those attacks. When you are doubting what you believe, you need this shield. Hebrews 10:35 and 36. 35 says, so don't throw away this confident trust in the Lord. Remember the great reward it brings you. Patient endurance is what you need now, so that you will continue to do God's will. Then you will receive all he has promised. So when you are doubting, you need to have a confidence in what God says more than what the doubt will say. Now, what are some of the fiery arrows that Satan flings? There's lots of them, and I'm just going to mention a few. The first one is doubt. Doubt is one of those arrows. Faith, doubt. In order to distinguish doubt, you have to have faith. You have to have a confident trust in God and what he says. Another arrow, discouragement. Discouragement is one of those arrows many times. You find that you look at the circumstances and you find yourself losing courage. And you're letting fear start to take root because you're starting to believe what you see more than what God says. You remember one time when Paul was talking about his missionary experience, and he says that he came to a place where he was discouraged, even despaired of life. And he learned something from that. What did he learn? He said, God was teaching me not to rely on myself, but to rely on Him. Now, how many have that temptation? To rely on yourself and not on God? I don't see enough hands. We all do that, don't we? And many times God is going to let Satan test us. He'll call it temptation. God will call it a test. Satan will want to destroy you with this. God wants to strengthen you with this. The very same circumstances, God's going to try to use that for your good. Satan's going to try to use it for your destruction. And the key is, who do you trust? Do you trust God, or do you trust what the enemy is telling you? So discouragement can be one of those. Depression is another one of those. Difficulty is another one of those arrows. Distracting desires can be one of those. You ever have that happen to you, where you have these desires start to flood in your mind and in your heart, and they're distracting you from what you want to do and what you feel like God wants you to do? Often happens when you pray. You have these thoughts come into your mind when you are praying. Now that is not fair. That is just not right, to interrupt a conversation like that with those kind of things. But that he does it. Satan does that to get you so that you will start to focus on those things that God doesn't want you to do and draw you into sin. Also, disobedience is one of those arrows, to where he tempts you to disobey God because you don't believe what God has to say. And you decide to do your own thing, which actually is the enemy's thing. Because the Bible says, in fact, let's turn to something here. I think it's First John. Chapter 5. Verse 19. It says, we know that we are children of God, and that the whole world is under the control of the evil one. Now, when you have your own ideas, so to speak, and you're going to follow your own plan rather than God's plan, you think it's your plan, but you're being manipulated. Because the world is under the control of the evil one. If it weren't for these principalities and powers inspiring and encouraging evil, they're the inspiration of a lot of this evil in the world. And man, because he is sinful and because he is dead to God, he is sitting duck for God, for Satan's manipulation. And men are manipulated and used for his purpose. They are obedient to Satan. And what they think is they're doing everything their own, but they're not really doing it on their own. It's the enemy that is manipulating them to destroy their life. So when these arrows are coming against you, and you recognize them, that this is something that Satan is throwing at me. It's coming from I wasn't even thinking about these things. And boom, they come into my mind. You know you're being attacked. Now, what is this shield and how do you use it? It says the shield of faith, right? But it isn't just faith. Just having faith is not what we're talking about. I get really irritated when I watch these movies and someone is telling the other person, well, you just need to have faith. You just need to have a little faith. Come on. It's not that bad. Have a little faith. My question is, faith in what? Faith? Are you talking about just a good feeling or something? Or you just need to be positive? Is that what that means? And a lot of times that's what that means, is that you need to have a little positive attitude. And you need to gin up your positive attitude. Yeah, it's bad, but come on, have a little faith. Now, get your attitude right. This is not the faith we're talking about. Now, everybody has faith. You guys are exercising faith this morning. You're sitting in these chairs, and you believe they're going to hold you. Right? When you drive your car and you turn the ignition on, you expect it to turn over. You have faith that it will. When you drive over a bridge, you have faith that it will hold you. You don't even know how the bridge works. You don't even know how you flip the switch. You don't know how these things work necessarily, but you believe they will. And you trust that it will. Now, if you had no trust in anything, it'd be chaos. You couldn't live. So everybody has a basic faith. And they put their faith in different things based on history and experience and, you know, different things. They've come to a place where they will trust and they'll have faith. The fact is that those things will fail you. I've had chairs fail me. Not a fun thing. When you're expecting it to hold you and it does not. But someone that will never fail you is God Himself. When you put everything that you are into Him, into His hands, that's trusting. When you trust God, that's the faith we're talking about. Faith always points to God. It doesn't point to you. When people talk about you got to have faith, what they're talking about is that look to yourself and get yourself in gear. Get positive. And the faith is focused on them, having the right attitude, being the right person, and dealing with this better. When we talk about biblical faith, it's putting our focus on God. Putting our focus on His power. 1 Peter 1:5 says this, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. When you are in those times where you don't have the strength, when you're feeling weak, when you don't feel like you have what it takes to deal with the situation, and you feel like you're being attacked, and you're feeling with fear, and you're feeling with doubt, you put your focus on the power of God. When I'm weak, then I'm made strong because I put my faith in Him. In the book of Hebrews, we see that those who were weak accomplished things that they could not do in their own power and their own strength. Why? Through faith. Confidence and trust in God, they were able to accomplish the impossible. You remember the story of David and Goliath? That's a classic, right? Everybody knows that. This young kid goes against a huge giant. Everybody in the whole army is going, not going to do it. Let's all stand here. Hopefully he goes away sometime. David had faith in God. And he exercised that faith and accomplished something that he couldn't do otherwise. He had confidence. This confidence wasn't in himself. It was in God. He grew confident because of God. If you're playing basketball, and here's these guys, 6'10", and another one is 5'9", and is fast as lightning. And here you are going to play against them. What kind of confidence do you have? Well, if you're me, not a whole lot. I'm looking at the ball, making sure it's still there. But if I got a couple people from the Lakers on my team, my confidence tends to go up. Why? Because I am confident in them. And because I'm confident in them, I don't care if these guys are on the varsity team at college. I got some professionals on my side. And so my confidence goes up. Here, take the ball. Yeah, we're going to win. Yeah, I'm not confident in myself. I'm confident in them. My confidence comes from them. The same thing with God. I don't have confidence in myself. I have confidence in God. He's on my side. I can do it because of God and His promises. That's the next thing. Faith points to God's promises, His promises. Psalm 18:30 says this, God's way is perfect. Okay, God's way is perfect. In other words, there's not a better way to do it. You understand what I'm saying? There's not a better way, and not a better plan, not a more... the outcome couldn't be any better than His plan. God's way is perfect. All the Lord's promises prove true. What does it mean by being proved true? It's been tested. It's been tested, time tested, and it always comes through. He is a shield for all who look to Him for protection. So the shield and His promises are tied together. Faith points to His promises, and the Bible is full of them. You need to get to know them. You need to have them memorized. You need to start to use them. Because that's what you do when you're being attacked. You have these promises that come against the attack. His presence. Scripture says, be strong and courageous in Deuteronomy 31, verse 6. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Verse 8, the Lord Himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid and do not be discouraged. Then we go to the New Testament. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you and never will I forsake you. Now that's just a little twist, isn't it? A little different than what you see in the Old Testament from what you see in the New Testament. What's the difference? Some of the people were putting their trust in their money. Their money became the god in their life. It was the idol in their life. They started to trust their money. And they started to love their money. So, the writer to Hebrews says, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have. And why should you be content? Because God has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. You have everything in Him. Now, here's the definition of the shield of faith. The shield is trusting the promises of God when everything seems to contradict them. Trusting the promises of God when everything seems to contradict them. Faith. That's the shield. Whenever you're doubting your beliefs and believing your doubts, you're under attack. And you need to recognize that. Satan wants to create doubt in your heart so that you can't find peace. Because this peace comes from knowing that you are in God's hands. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Hebrews 11 and verse 6. See, I need to come to the decision. Am I going to believe God and what He says more than I believe what I see? Am I going to trust and believe what God says more than what I feel? Am I going to trust and believe God more than what I see? What I'm hearing, what I'm feeling, all the senses and what their input into my life is. Am I going to believe what God says more than what all my senses are inputting into my life? See, the Bible says that we have to have faith in order to conquer. John 5:4, 1 John 5:4 says, "For everyone born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith." Now, when we tend to believe our doubts and doubt our beliefs, what do we do? It's classic. You look at the very first temptation. What did Satan do? He tried to get them to doubt what God said. Has God really said that? Oh, you won't really die. Oh, no, you're kidding. They had never had anything that contradicted what God said. So there was a crisis. Either they believe what God said, or they believe what Satan said. And they believed a lie. When you do not put your faith in what God says, you're going to put your faith in a lie. And putting your faith in a lie is not a good idea. So how do you combat this attack? We need to do this. We need to believe our beliefs and doubt our doubts. Now this is amazing to me. We tend to believe our doubts and doubt our beliefs. When doubts are supposed to be doubted and beliefs are to be believed. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, "We live by what we believe, not by what we can see." See, the thing is, what we see may not be the real thing. It may not be all that there is. You ever had that happen where you thought you saw something and you thought you read the situation right and you had it all wrong? It wasn't as it looked like. It wasn't as it seemed to be. When we rely on our senses and we rely on what we see, we have a chance to blow it because things are not always as they seem. You ever had a situation where you come into, like, come into church? And you go, "Hey, how you doing?" And they go, and you go, "Oh, wow, what did I do? I know what I did." Well, you know what? You got to tell the truth something sometimes, and they've got a problem with the truth. And I tried to help them and say something, and now they don't want to talk to me. Well, I'm not talking to them either. And then somebody comes up to you and says, Did you hear what happened to so-and-so? No, I didn't. Oh, they just lost their job, and they're just so worried. That's what they're, you know, they're over there. They're just staring at the wall. They hardly know anybody's around. And you're going, "Oh, I thought they were mad at me." Ah, and I was thinking these negative things about them. It doesn't always as you see. You can read things wrong. And that's why it's important that you know the Word of God, because it is the truth. It will protect you. Proverbs 30, verse 5, every word of God proves true. He is a shield to all who come to Him for protection. That whole thing of the shield again. We need to know why we believe what we believe. We need to know what we believe. We need to count on and rely on what we believe to be the truth. And where there is doubt, where there is a fear, where there is anxiety, these things you need to recognize. What is it that's causing this to happen? Why do I feel the way I feel? Why am I thinking the way I think? What is the lie that I'm starting to believe? And you have to counter that with the truth. Apply the truth of God to that thought so that you can stand. If you had a thought in your mind that God doesn't care about you, He doesn't care about you, why would He care about you? A lot of people don't care about you. And if God cared about you, wouldn't He do this for you? Why would He not do this for you if He really cared? That's a good point. That's right. I asked Him to do this for me, and He didn't do it. Proof? You're just now starting to believe a lie. Because the truth is, no one cares about you more. You'll never find anybody that loves you more. No one. And if you're going to take on the truth of what Satan says, or what circumstance seem to tell you is true, then you're falling for a lie. I've talked to people before. Because of the circumstances in their life were difficult, they've come to me and they're kind of angry at God. I remember one time someone came and I was talking to them and they were talking about this and how could God do this? You know, I'm just angry at God for doing that and this. And I'm going, whoa, hold on. You're angry at God? What did He... That's ridiculous. I'm sorry to tell you, that's silly. God's not that at all. You're angry at somebody else. That's not God. God would not do that. God is not that way. God is good. He's always good. He can never be hurtful and harmful. He's always patient. He's always kind. And to think otherwise is to accuse God of evil and to make Him out to be the bad guy. God is not the bad guy. You got the wrong person here. But it feels true. It seems to be true. The circumstances seem to back it up. But the Bible says otherwise. Jesus proves that God loves you. He came and He died for you. You take and apply these scriptures to your circumstances, to the thoughts that you have, and you let them shield you. Now, how do you do that? How do you apply them? How do you appropriate them? You have to agree with them. Because when you believe a lie, what do you do with that? You agree with it. You have to agree to the truth. You have to rehearse them in your mind and say, this is true. This is true for me, Lord, and you pray. Lord, I believe this is for me. I believe that this is true. And Lord, help me to fight the thoughts that come into my mind that would cause me to think otherwise. I choose to believe this rather than that. You know, there's some circumstances that you find yourself in and you have no evidence of anything. You can believe the good or you can believe the bad. It's your choice. And you know what? As far as evidence is concerned, you just have just as much evidence for the bad as for the good in that circumstance. So what do you want to do? Do you want to choose to believe all the negative, or you can choose to be choosing the positive? You can choose now, to translate that, you can choose to believe what God says is true, or you can choose to believe whatever you want to believe that would be against God. You have to take this truth, this evidence that what God says is true, because it doesn't change. It always will be true, always has been true, and will continue to be true. What God was to the people of Israel, He was to the New Testament church, He is to us today. He doesn't change. When you have times of uncertainty, you need something that's going to be solid, that doesn't change. People change. Circumstances change. But God never changes. And when the seas are roaring, when the tumult is happening, when your world is falling apart, you anchor your life to something that doesn't move, that doesn't change. And what you'll find is that what God says will always prove to be true. At the beginning, it may not seem so. At the beginning, there may be thoughts that come against you saying, how can you trust God with that? How can you put your faith in God for that? How can you believe that? But in time, you'll see that everything that He said is as He said and can be relied on. And you'll have a certainty about you, a confidence about you that doesn't come from your circumstances, doesn't come from what you see, doesn't come from what all those things are around you. In fact, let me just say this one more point. Many times God allows things to happen in your life so that you have nothing to put your faith in but Him. He strips you of everything so that you have just Him. He'll show you that these things can't be relied on. There's only one thing that you can rely on, and that's God and His promises, His character. So get to know them so that you can apply them, so you have the faith to lift that shield to protect yourself from the attacks of the enemy. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You, Lord, for the shield of confidence that comes when we put our trust and our faith in You. Lord, You encouraged us. Trust in God, trust also in Me. And Lord, we want to learn how to use the shield of faith, because we are facing uncertain times. We face circumstances that bring fear to our hearts. Lord, we are tempted to believe a lie and to disobey You, thinking that the shortcut that Satan offers us is the best way. Lord, we pray You help us now as we examine Your word, as we memorize Your scripture, as we put Your words into our heart, that we might be able to have faith to lift up that shield to protect us as we go through our life today, this week, this month, this year. We thank You, Lord. We pray these things in Your name. Amen.